Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is what a hat. This is what a hat looks like to me. No rope, nice brim. That's how I like to roll. I get it. So, this is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spin Ice Cream. Wasn't my fault. They forgot to tell me that Wednesday was Stranger Appreciation Day. Nobody told me. I'd bear no blame in the fact that we did not promote that yesterday. That was not our fault, Carlo.
Our fault?
It would have been. Well,
you read the ads.
Well, if we had known that it was Stranger Appreciation Day and you had said nothing, I would put some blame on you. But we didn't know.
We didn't know.
Hope you guys enjoyed Stranger Appreciation Day. Hopefully, when the next one comes around, they'll let us know, and we'll be happy to tell you that it's out there. Wasn't our fault this time. Last time it was our fault. Last time Robbie and I, we screwed up. So, StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com if you're not living in Starkville or Tupelo. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef.
It is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I'll be at the Feeding the Hungry event today on Thursday at Pearl River Resort. It's a massive thing run by Mississippi Farm Bureau, and they're all cooking out there. And I'm going to imagine that some beef was going to be on the menu, and I'm going to get to enjoy.
Wow,
well, that's exciting. It's one of my favorite remotes of the year because people just keep bringing food.
That's south. That's like far.
Philadelphia.
Oh, I got it mixed up with the one in Biloxi.
No, yeah, I'm not going to Philadelphia. No. I'm not going to Biloxi. I'm going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's not that far.
I'll be in Hattiesburg next week. That's a little far.
Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
That is far.
That's far. So, if you're cooking out this weekend, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, Mississippi State script, interlocking, M over S, it's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. We'll talk to the people at Priority One Bank. They'll treat you with respect. They know you by name, not just by your account number. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I screwed up cooking dinner last night.
Ooh. How'd you? Oh.
Didn't have to get stitches, but
oh.
They gave me a tetanus shot. It's already starting to hurt.
You actually got a tetanus shot?
Well, they were like, when's the last tetanus shot? I was like, when I was a kid? I don't know.
Bad you.
It was bad enough, so. Oh, yeah. I'm going to show you the picture. I'm not going to show our listeners.
Oh.
But
okay, what were you like on the cutting board?
Yeah, I was chopping an onion. And I just didn't have it tucked in the way I needed to. And
No.
Is it bad?
Oh, that's one. That's a photo I need to see once.
Yeah, you just see it once. I put some Band-Aids on it last night when I went to bed. And I woke up this morning and took the Band-Aids off. And like, I just looked at it and I just went like that. And it started bleeding again. So I was like, I'm going to go to urgent care. And they said they didn't need stitches. They just taped me up. And
do you get the tennis shot in your thumb?
That's in my arm.
Oh, doesn't that one hurt?
Yeah.
I'm not a needles guy.
Oh, see, it doesn't bother me.
I hate needles.
Well, I mean,
then my number one.
The thing with tetanus shots, though, is it doesn't hurt in the time. It hurts later. Like, tetanus shots hurt.
Oh, is it because it bruises your arm and stuff?
Well, you know, it just, like, that's the thing with tetanus. Like, it just makes sure wherever they shoot you up, it's going to be sore after. So, like, by this time tomorrow.
I just don't like the needle going in.
Okay. Yeah, like, this time tomorrow, I'm going to be like, eh. So,
yeah.
I know how to cook is what bothers me. I'm just sitting there chopping an onion, like, all right. Oh God,
you still had to finish the cook.
Oh yeah, I was just getting started, so I did it all. I put a glove on, a couple of little of my grilling latex gloves, and
Just
Call it
finished.
a day. I just finished cooking and I ate dinner and then I took the glove. I was like, oh my God, my thumb looked like what I just showed you.
Oh,
You've heard of a
God.
green thumb, folks. I had a red one.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Ooh.
So makes typing a little difficult. So, yeah, it's fine.
I just can't get the photo of my head in
Yeah,
my
it was a
head.
bad one. Yeah, it was a bad one.
Oh.
So, all right, Mississippi State Auburn starts tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Looking ahead to tomorrow's podcast, Carlo does have WCBI duties, may or may not be with us, but Brooks Bryan has said he'll join me for a late night. We'll record after the game at Denny Noble Field. This is a really complete Auburn baseball team, and that's why they're ranked in the top five. That's why, from an RPI perspective, they're number four currently. One thing they've done really smart with their RPI is they've played a total of 15 games, quad three and quad four, whereas Mississippi State has played 15 games that are just quad four. They don't play a lot of terrible opponents. They've kind of gotten that figured out. If you look at their games, 20, 23 plus 32 of their 47 games are quad one, quad two.
Oh.
And they're 18 and 14 in those, so their RPI is good. They don't have a lot of these games. I mean, look at last night from an RPI perspective. Texas A&M dropped to 11. What did they do? They won a game 16-7, but they played Prairie View, who was 302 in the RPI. So it just bombed them. Just a terror. I think a discussion is coming that teams can't. You just can't schedule these games, especially late anymore. If you schedule them early, it's fine, but you can only maybe schedule one SWAC team, one of these sub-250 teams, and just kind of go from there. So that hurt A&M last
You
night.
see, Miami and NC State canceled them for there's issues
Unplayable field.
in playable fields.
Well, Ole Miss did that a few years back against Arkansas State, and it saved them. If they were going to play Arkansas State, Arkansas State's RPI was like in the 150s to 200s.
That's not even that bad, though.
Well, Ole Miss, that was the year they won the national title, but their
Oh.
RPI was so low, they had such a bad season that if they had played that game, it was going to ding them regardless, and they might have hurt their RPI. So they just canceled
Might
it.
not even made the
State did
tournament.
it a couple years ago with North Alabama. It was like they were sub 250, and State was like, eh,
Wonder
nah.
why they scheduled those games then.
Foolishness is the word I can use for it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to schedule. Ole Miss next week plays UT Martin. UT Martin's RPI is like 270 or something. Like,
That's gonna get it canceled.
well, you look at Ole Miss right now, they're 13th in the RPI. They play Texas A&M this weekend, right? So they're probably going to, I don't think they're going to win that series. So they're probably going to drop to like 14th or 15th. Then they're going to play a team that's going to ding them probably down to 17th.
Yeah.
It's foolishness. You got to find some rain between now and then. Let's look more at Auburn, though.
I'm looking at their pitching right now.
Delete.
I'm on the SEC individual pitching stats for the
Yeah.
season team or I guess individual ERA. Auburn has four pitchers in the top 10 right now.
They lead the SEC in ERA
By a
by a
lot.
full half run.
Yeah.
Like their team ERA is 3.33. That's all games. 3.83 is the second one. That's Texas. In conference play, Auburn's ERA is 3.58 to Texas's 3.86. State is fourth
Yeah,
in
State's
ERA,
not far behind,
but
but
they're almost a full run worse.
the gap between Auburn and just about everyone else is
Right.
substantial.
But then on the other side of that, Auburn's a really good hitting team. They're fourth in the conference in hitting both overall and in conference play. They don't hit for a ton of power. Only 29 home runs in conference play. That's good for, I believe,
Ooh,
ninth. So that's an
interesting.
interesting one. They're a team that they manufacture their runs. They're a decent enough fielding team. I'm just not surprised that Butch Thompson has an elite pitching staff. You mentioned from an individual perspective.
It's impressive.
Jackson Sanders, 2.63 ERA. I guess this is conference play. Jake Marciano, 2.79. Alex Petrovich, 3.55. So I mean those are their top guys. They pitch the ball well. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're well coached. And we've arrived at this point now for Mississippi State. And I'll be honest with you, I know that the team that State played on Tuesday, Nichols, is not a great team by any stretch of the
My
imagination.
gosh.
But I think that playing a game like that and just seeing, like basketball makes that comment a lot that, just to see the ball go in the hoop
Yeah.
can break you out of a slump sometimes.
100%.
I think that State just pounding a team like that and the ball flying out of the yard, somebody had put up Ace Reese's stats on a message board of what it is in non-conference play.
It's ridiculous.
He's hitting 508.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's
if Ace Reese could transfer to, like, the College of Charleston, he might hit 600. You know, it's just something crazy. But I think a game like that gets their mindset of, like, seeing the ball go off the bat a little bit.
And O'Connor said that last night, too, and after the game. He said that we got better tonight, even though, I mean, the score was what it was. But, you know, Reed Stallman hits two. Ace Reese hits two. Drew Weyers, another home run. I mean, it seemed like everyone was hitting home runs. And then they were also manufacturing runs. I don't think they hit their first home run. Well, they hit one in the first inning because Jacob Parker had another grand slam.
Another grand slam. But
the first couple of runs were, you know, doubles and singles and getting guys on base and getting them in. So, yeah, I mean, you beat the absolute crap out of Nichols, but you also get, like you said, you get the ball go through the hoop. You know, yeah. You get these guys to hit, especially Reed Stallman. I mean, he's been in and out of the lineup, back tightness. Beavis has, you know, been great at first base. Then they move him to left. They bring Stallman back in, and he has a great game. So
really,
now you've got something to really think about, you know, first base, left field. Where does Teal fit in this thing? You know, it's a big question.
I got bad news for Teal, I think.
You think he's done?
I don't know. Oh, done's a strong word, right? He'll still have a role to play.
He'll get
but it. I think State's best lineup is the one they put out there last night.
I would agree.
With Stallman, Beavis in there. Parker has to start regardless.
Parker has to play no matter what.
Yeah, he's too good. He has to play.
Let's think about the untouchables in this lineup right now.
The only two that I would say are totally untouchable.
Reese.
Stallman. No, Stallman? No,
or
no.
Not Stallman.
Parker.
No, Reese. Chance.
Chance. Parker.
Parker.
Malewski is untouchable. Even though he's only hitting.
Yeah, he's won the catcher thing.
Yeah, because you just can't risk it. And even as though he hasn't been particularly great, he's better than everybody
else. Noah Sullivan started every game at DH besides.
Sullivan is probably untouchable, but, I mean, he had a rough weekend.
Bad weekend.
If they had left him out of the lineup last night just to be like, hey, let's take a day, I wouldn't have raised my eyebrows.
Would you put it DH? Like
last night?
Sean James or something?
Yeah, somebody like that. It doesn't matter. You're playing Nichols. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
So, from my perspective, that's how I would. Stallman needs to be in the lineup, I think.
He's hit really well this year.
He's also your best defensive first baseman.
100%. He is stellar at first base.
Yeah, he's actually an asset. He's good, don't get me wrong, but Stallman is an asset at first base. Like, I feel very confident that nothing's going to get past him there.
And he's doing it with his offhand, too, which is so impressive.
Yeah, he's really, really good. This series is very simple, I think, for Mississippi State. If they win this series, and I think winning it will be enough. I don't think they have to sweep. If they go 2-3, 2-1 this weekend, next weekend if they're 1-2, a 3-3 finish, I think, is going to keep them. They're currently 8 in the RPI. They moved up a spot last night with Texas A&M dropping, kind of pushed everybody else up. They're 8. USC is 9. Southern Mississippi is 10. Southern Cal and Southern Miss are both in the hosting discussion. Neither one of them are in the top 8 discussion. Mississippi State is in the top 8 discussion. By that same token, Alabama, who's 5th in the RPI, is not really in the top 8 discussion either. So State has a great opportunity here that if they can win two games this weekend to almost assuredly put themselves in position to not only host a regional but to host a super regional. I really do think a 3-3 finish will get them there. 4-2 would wrap it up.
Would they be 17-13 if they get
17-13? I think is going to get them there. I think
that'll be super regional.
I think
with the teams they've played, though, yeah.
I mean, their conference, their strength of schedule right now is 12, so that's really good. They've got 9 quad one wins. That's more than well, not more than a lot, to be honest with you. It's more than UCLA, but UCLA is just different. Plus, they beat them.
The Big Ten.
They have more than North Carolina. They have more than Florida State. They have more than Kansas does, obviously. And, you know, we saw yesterday, we looked at the regional projections yesterday.
10th.
They were 10th, which means that they're kind of in this mix right now. And I think 2 wins bumps them to the other side of the bracket. They had Mississippi State. Let's just go over that real quick from D1 Baseball, our friends over there, who are trying to will a super regional between Virginia and Mississippi State into effect. They want it bad. So State, the Starkville regional per D1 Baseball, Mississippi State is the number 10 overall seed, West Virginia the 2, Michigan the 3, Southeast Louisiana the 4. Southeast Louisiana beat Southern Miss a few weeks back, so that's not a bad program. They were paired with the Lawrence, Kansas Regional. That's Kansas University of Kansas, or Kansas University. So they're like Indiana, aren't they? They do the KU instead of the U of K, right?
Kansas University.
Yeah, it's Kansas
Indiana
University.
University.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So that was the Kansas Regional. They are the likely Big 12 champions. That was Kansas as the 7 with Virginia as the 2 seed. Missouri State, who's been a really good team this year.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of the heavy lifting on Ole Miss's resume.
Yeah.
That Ole Miss swept them in non-conference play. And when they scheduled that, they had no idea
that they would be any good.
They were scheduling a team that, when we got to the second to last week of the season, would be 25th in the RPI.
That was like their second or third series.
Yes. They're like, all right, we'll play Missouri State. Who gives a crap, right? And instead, Missouri State is 27-17. They have 8 quad 1, quad 2 wins. They've been pretty good this year.
I wonder if they'll keep that next year.
Yeah, I would do everything I could to keep it. And then the last team in there was Indiana State, the Sycamores.
Ew.
Not a fan.
You ever been to Terre Haute?
I haven't ever been to the state of Indiana.
Okay, that's a problem, first of all. You need to go to the Indianapolis 500 for talking.
I'll go, sure.
It is one of one sporting event.
Okay.
That's besides the fact. We can talk about that another day.
That's another day.
Sycamores. I can't crap on them too much. My college roommate just got a degree from them. But
yeah.
Terre Haute. Not the Sunshine and Rainbows place you want to go.
Okay. Well, you know, I Terre Haute wasn't on my bucket list.
You know what's another place that sucks in Indiana? South Bend. And you would never believe it because they have Notre Dame. Never been there on a sunny day. I'm telling you, it's always rainy and overcast.
I would like to go to Notre Dame because I'm Catholic. I just like to go one time.
No, the stadium's cool, but the town's
still a lot of candle in the grotto and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've done that all. It's cool, but the South Bend as a whole sucks.
I got you.
Keep going.
All right. So that was your SEC, that was your Mississippi State postseason projection from our friends at D1 Baseball. Just a real quick update. Just look around the whole field of 64. I'll give you all of the SEC teams. They have Tennessee as the 3 seed in Atlanta, where Georgia Tech is the number 2 national seed.
Not get out of that.
Georgia is the number 3 seed overall, which is interesting because there's a big dichotomy there between where they have them seated and what Georgia is from an RPI perspective. They're 16th in the RPI.
Georgia Tech would be 2 at that point, right?
Georgia Tech was 2 and Georgia 3.
Interesting.
I saw a really fun thing from a guy who he said if we seated the tournament strictly by RPI, what it would look like. And State would have been the 8 seed in that. So your super regional matchup would be Georgia at UCLA.
Oh.
I mean, that's what we're going to get in Omaha. That could be the last series.
Yeah,
to be honest with you. So
Georgia's
ball. Anyway, Georgia was the 3 seed overall. They're paired with the Hattiesburg Regional, where Southern Miss is the 14 seed and the 2 seed in Hattiesburg. You'll never guess.
Ole Miss.
It's Ole Miss. Baseball America went against the grain. The Hattiesburg Regional they projected didn't have an SEC team in there. I'd bet my every dollar I got. That if there's an SEC team that can be a 2 seed, they'll go to Hattiesburg.
100%.
But regardless of that, Texas is the 4 seed. They're paired with Tallahassee, where Arkansas is the 2 seed in Florida State's regional. Florida is the 12 seed overall. I thought that was – Florida has got one thing going for them. They have 15 quad 1 wins. That's more than anybody else.
In the country?
Yeah. But they also have 3 quad 4 losses.
Dude, they're such a weird team.
Florida is very similar to Mississippi State 2024. State had, I think, the most quad one wins, or close to it. They were 17-13 in the conference, but they had a bunch of bad losses, and so that's what kept them from hosting. So that's where Florida kind of is. Florida finishes the season at LSU. They really need to sweep them.
Mm.
They really need to sweep them.
Who do they have this weekend?
Let's see who the Gators have this weekend. They are hosting Kentucky. They need to win those games too. Kentucky's a good enough team, but you need to win 2 out of 3. Getting back here to the bracket, Auburn, the 6th national seed, paired with Tuscaloosa, the Alabama Crimson Tide of the 11 seeds. So they're trying to
that
will in
an
Iron Super Regional. I'd be excited for that. I already mentioned the 7-10 matchup. That's Kansas and Mississippi State. Texas A&M currently the 8th seed, but as I mentioned, they dropped to 11 last night in the RPI. They're paired with Conway, South Carolina. Coastal Carolina, they dropped big in the RPI last night. They lost to Clemson, and they dropped 5 spots. They're 22 in the RPI. It's crazy that they're dominating the Sun Belt in such a way. They're 3 games ahead of Southern Miss. Southern Miss's RPI is 10, And Coastal Carolina's is
goes back to the non-con.
well, and yeah, it absolutely does. And how many bad losses? So Southern has five bad losses, and so they have six. So I mean, I guess that's part of it. Also, but real quick in the Conway regional, they had Oklahoma as the two seed there. So those were your SEC teams that were in there. I would just tell you right now, from a Mississippi State perspective, I would take what they have on paper as the Starkville regional here. When I think of West Virginia, I can't stop thinking about the fact that they lost 23-1 to Pitt
Oh my
like 2 weeks
God,
ago.
forgot about that.
Yeah, that just sticks in my head. West Virginia's a pretty decent program, though. Michigan, their coach Tracy Smith was at Indiana when they went to the College World Series in 2013
Schwarber.
with Schwarber. Yeah. Mississippi State, I don't know if the state eliminated them. I know they beat them once while they were out there. And then Southeast Louisiana, as I mentioned, is a pretty decent, they're one of the lower mid-major programs. And but if you're telling me right now that I can get those three teams to Starkville, and that if I have to travel, I'm going to Lawrence, Kansas to play in front of maybe, 1,500 people, I'm good. I'll take that right now. So that's a good spot. But again, state can flip this. I think if state wins this series, you could see this. I think you would see state and Texas A&M flip.
Yes.
Now, if A&M does get Ole Miss at home this weekend, so they got opportunities as well. But you could see State go to that eight spot, and then A&M drop down to 10, or maybe they pair State and I think Coastal's in trouble. I just don't see how you let a team with the RPI that low host. And then who does Coastal have this weekend? Because I mean, they're in the Sun Belt. I can't imagine it's a yeah. And then they don't play Southern Miss. They're at Old Dominion this weekend. Now, that's so they host Old Dominion. Their RPI is 116. They still have a non-con game with the Citadel, who's a 60. That's not bad. And then they finish at Louisiana. That's helpful for Coastal. Their RPI is 54. So those would be, are those quad one wins? I think that's right. So what's their predicted results here? Predicted results for Coastal are to finish. Oh, they've got them losing. Whew! If that happens, they'll be in real trouble. So Warren Nolan has them losing two out of three at Louisiana, and he has them losing one to Old Dominion. Hold up, that now that guy, now you got me curious, Warren. What does that mean for Southern Miss? What does he have them predicted to finish? Because if he has them finishing 6-0, that would be they would be the Sun Belt champions. You got my curiosity up here. He has them finishing 5-1, so they would finish a game out of first place in the Sun Belt. But I think 5-1 for Southern is good enough to guarantee a Hattiesburg regional. Big series for Mississippi State. There's no question about it. And
Let me ask you this, Brian.
yeah,
This state has struggled with teams that pitch well. We just
they
saw
have.
they just, I mean, Friday they couldn't do anything against Texas. Saturday it took them a while. Sunday they had it and then they lost it. They're going against a team that is significantly better at pitching than Texas is by a whole half run. What do you think the key is going to be winning in this game, these games this weekend? Because we've been saying for a while, oh, they just need to get two at Auburn and then one at A&M, they're fine. But I've been all week. I think I would not be surprised if this series goes haywire, and I hate to say it
No,
because they're a good team. They've won six conference series in a row. How are they going to be able to stop that streak? What do you think is going to be key for them? I don't think they can lose game one.
this is interesting from Warren Nolan's predicted RPI. He has State losing two out of three this weekend, but then sweeping Texas A&M.
Okay,
If that happens, they would
they're
still host.
fine.
They'd be fine. I don't see that particular scenario happening. I just don't think that's going to happen. Game one obviously is huge. That's been, in the game in the series that State has lost, they have not been able to. Yeah, they have not been able to get game one. And despite the fact that in each of those game ones, they had opportunities. They had opportunities. They tied the game against Arkansas and they give up a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth. They were down 10-2 to Georgia, but they come back 10-9. They had the chance to win. They didn't do it. Tennessee, that game was close on Friday. That was a close one. And then on this past weekend, you mentioned it. I mean, 3-1 is a very, very Friday night score for the SEC. They got to find their way through to winning this. Valinkas is doing enough on Friday nights to keep you in it. I am interested to see, and we haven't gotten the. I assume they'll announce the rotation today, but Do they pitch Valinkas on Thursday? Do they move him up, or do they just want to keep him on Friday? And if you do that, who are you starting on? I don't think Charlie Foster is going to start this week. I could be wrong. We could be wrong, but I don't think he's going to. So do you start another guy on Thursday and still go Valinkas Stone, or do you move everybody up? I don't think you move people up.
Well, next series is Thursday.
It's also Thursday as well. I'm not moving Valinkas up.
Really?
For two reasons. One, he has pitched. This is the most he's ever pitched in his career. I don't want to mess with him at this point. I'll just keep him on Friday. Secondly, Auburn has to figure something out as well with their pitching.
We talked about this with Brooke.
Right.
Yeah.
That they ended up throwing their Friday guy on Saturday because they had to play a doubleheader. So are they going to move him up two full days? That would be weird. I would keep Valinkas on Friday, Stone on Saturday. And honestly, I think the thought might be to put Jack Bauer out there.
Wow.
And just try to see if you can get two trips through the order.
But, like, a bullpen game Friday, that's a dangerous game, though.
Well, I mean, Bauer has pitched well enough these last 2 weeks that I feel confident in him.
Well, it's not that I don't feel confident in him, but you're not going to get more than three innings out of him.
If I can get two trips through the order, and then I can go to – then I can piece it together with Miller, Webb, assuming Webb is healthy, and O'Connor told us that he was. And then Ben Davis is a piece of this. He's got to be good to go. Because he's got to be able to give you – I think Ben Davis can give you two innings.
What did he say when you talked to him the other day?
But Davis just had to see.
Okay.
So.
Man. You know what they need to stop doing? I'm not the baseball coach, obviously. They need to stop throwing Ben Davis out there for more than two innings.
Ben Davis can pitch two innings.
He can pitch two innings. He's a great closer.
Sixth outs, and we're done.
Once they throw him in the sixth, it is not worked out for
them. The best-case scenario for Mississippi State on a weekend is – a starter can get you six. I can get Ben Davis out there for the seventh and the eighth, and Maddox Webb for the ninth. That's your best case scenario. If Bauer didn't have to start, you could also say getting Bauer out there in the seventh or eighth would be fantastic. And getting McPherson will be a key back to this as well. If you don't see him this weekend, you know, we'll see what happens next weekend. As I've been saying, I ask O'Connor every week. He said he was supposed to throw in a bullpen this week. I would assume that was either Monday or today. He throws it today. He's obviously not going to pitch tomorrow, but could you see him Friday or Saturday? I don't know.
Do you personally think we see him this week?
Not this weekend, no. I think next weekend at best. I think that's the best case scenario.
Okay.
So we'll see. Like I said, we don't know with that rotation yet for Mississippi State. We don't know it for Auburn either. We'll get that information a little later, and we'll get plenty of good stuff out of it. Huge series for the Bulldogs. We'll see what they can do.
Huge.
And if they get this series, I feel very confident that we'll be talking not only about the Starkville Regional, but the Starkville Super Regional should State advance in the NCAA tournament. All right, we got a spring football preview to do for a team that State is playing. Let's talk about the Texas Longhorns. Let's move into that. It's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. We got to stop doing this show around lunchtime. We got to either do it early in the morning or after lunch because this is tough. This is tough. I mean, I'm going to talk about these delicious tacos and wings and prime rib sandwiches and pork rind nachos and everything else that's great. Have you had what?
Not proud
you
of
raised,
it.
You raised
Man,
your
I
hand.
I have to say it.
Yeah.
I went to Two Bros three times yesterday.
Three times?
Three separate times. I went there for lunch and I got four tacos.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on my break between the 6 and 10 show and I got a couple more tacos.
Uh-huh. And then you went out for a beverage after?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, you're a good customer. That's what we like to hear.
I mean, I love that.
Have you had the pimento cheese fritters there?
I'm not a pimento cheese guy.
I think I'm not either.
You're eating mayonnaise.
I know. I know. Somebody was getting on me today, like, you know, ranch is mayonnaise. All right. Okay. You can doctor it up enough,
ranch
I guess.
Ranch is mayonnaise?
It's mayo-based, yeah, for the most part.
Okay, well,
sometimes
not
it's not. There's, like, buttermilk ranch that's not as much mayonnaise. Sometimes they just put sour cream in there. But
you know it's the best ranch in town? I'm not even a big ranch guy. Bortout.
Well, why are we talking about them right now? We're doing two brothers. Yeah. They're right across the street.
I went there three times yesterday. I mean, I just
we'll have a rant discussion another day.
Okay.
All right, Two Brothers Smoke Meats. You can go there as many times as you want. Lunch, dinner, late night. It's all right there for you. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, same number, same people. They know you. You know them. They're in Mississippi. So are you. Guess what? We can take care of your problems a lot of times the exact same day. Give them a call at 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go when you need any kind of Mississippi State gear here in Starkville. If you're in Starkville, if you're in the Golden Triangle, nobody with a bigger, better, more unique selection than our friends over at Maroon & Co. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white. Great gifts, not gate griffs. That's something different. That's when you have a guy who sells fences, but he's actually a scammer.
Turtle box.
They have that. Yeah.
Box turtle.
No, different. We're not doing a turtle thing again. Whatever you're looking for mom or dad, you can get it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code Thunder15 to save 15% off. Dad will be very proud if you save 15% off on his gift. I just speaking as a dad, I would be like, oh, you save money too? That's great. Check it out online at maroonandco.com or in store. If you're going to go to Mississippi State, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. It's supposed to be a little rain today. So what does that mean? It means the grass. This is the grass's day. Let's make the weekend our day. And let's get some John Deere mowers to work. If you're looking for a great deal on John Deere mowers, tractors, and gators, they've got it at our friends at Scruggs have got you taken care of. Talk to their credit department. They're going to set you up with a fantastic deal. In some cases, 0% financing for up to 70 or 80 months. Don't mess around with your yard. Put the best to work. That's John Deere at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, the name to know is Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in this state, you probably already know Good Hope Land and Timber. Hopefully, they've been helping you through the years, helping you keep your land sustainably, helping you make the biggest profits, helping you manage your timber. That's what Good Hope Land and Timber does best. But if you are trying to buy or sell land right now, hey, Good Hope Land and Timber can help you with that as well. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call to 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. The Texas Longhorns are back on the Mississippi State schedule this year. Why? No one knows. I don't know why they've decided to make Mississippi State versus Texas this every year occurrence. You know, I don't like it. I don't like it. Of course, that was the most heartbreaking loss of the season in a season full of them last year.
That was a hard one to watch. That was a hard press conference to go to.
That was a hard one to watch for you. How do you think I felt up there? And then I had other issues after that.
We all know.
All right. So earlier today, I talked with Joe Cook from InsideTexas.com to get his thoughts on a Longhorn team that's looking to make a return to the college football playoff. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning, of course, are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. When your team takes a tough loss, you need to recover, you need to feel better, a trip to Allura Modern Wellness might just be the thing. Whatever you're trying to do with your own body, all right, if you're trying to recover, if you need stretching, if you need heat, cold, just relaxation, our friends at Allura Modern Wellness have got packages and promotions ready for you. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255, or you can just visit them online, AlluraModernWellness.com. All of their services can be booked right there online. Allura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Joe Cook of InsideTexas.com. Mississippi State will take on Texas for the third time in 3 years. Let's get a look at the spring over there in Austin with Joe Cook from InsideTexas.com. Before we start with anything else, though, we were talking about this the other day on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Did the SEC really flub it by not getting Arch Manning to Oxford for one game? Like, I promise you Mississippi State fans would be more than happy to not play Texas this year. We could have switched that out and sent him. Doesn't that just feel like a flub?
Yeah, I think that's one that I think I like storylines like that. I remember the Mississippi State game last year. It kind of dawned on me late, like, oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. His family's been doing this for a little while in the stadium. But yeah, I, at the same time, Texas has never been to Tennessee. They have to go there this year. Mm-hmm. They've not played in Baton Rouge, I think, since like the 60s to play LSU. And then, of course, they have to play Oklahoma and Dallas, have to play A&M, have to play Arkansas. So I would have liked to have seen that. Especially would have been a lot more interesting had Lane Kiffin stayed, but a little bit different now. But, you know, you'll still see the whole – I'm sure that'll be a big storyline entering that week. All the Mannings will be in town, and maybe even Eli as well, to see what's going on with his nephew and playing his alma mater.
Well, let's talk about his nephew then, Arch Manning. I think we would all agree didn't have the best start to the season and got better as the season went along. I thought maybe his game here in Starkville was where the light really turned on from that great comeback win. What's the next level for Arch Manning? When you think about what he has to improve on, where does he need to get there?
Yeah, he has to avoid those stumbles, that early season where he had a good, not great game against Ohio State, terrible game against UTEP, even things out in the rest of the non-conference, and then struggled against Florida, against Kentucky in the first half against Oklahoma, and then it took them turning on the gas late against Mississippi State for them to get going. And a lot of it had to do with what was going on around him. Left guard was a sieve last year for Texas. They did not create a really respectable run game at all. So in addition to his own problems, getting sped up, missing, some easier throws and, taking a few more hits than he should have. Remember, he ended that Mississippi State game with a concussion. It didn't knock him out of any extended action, but it knocked him out of overtime. I think what he needs to improve on is just not being sped up. And I think everything around him is going to help him do that. The fact that Texas really went after the offensive line and the transfer portal, probably brought in one starter, maybe brought in another. They're not going to be starting a true freshman there like they did for some of the games last year. And then, he's just got to be him. It was revealed, I think, by an On3 article from Chris Lowe that he played through all the 2025 season with a bit of a bum foot. And, he's not going to make any excuses about that. Texas certainly didn't, because that was just now revealed in the spring. But you could tell by the end of the year, not only with his runs against Texas A&M, but also with his run against Michigan, that there was just, something going on there. He just needs to be able to use the pieces around him, be able to, throw to talented guys like Cam Coleman, like Ryan Wingo. And I think the influx of a good run game with some good portal running backs and offensive linemen is going to help just the entire ecosystem get just improved as far as the offense goes.
You mentioned the transfer for the running back position, and two big time names there coming to Austin, Hollywood Smothers and Relique Brown. Is that going to be a duo? They're going to split things up, or do you think one guy could step up and be the lead back?
I think they'll split things up. Both those guys are probably best suited for outside zone, which we've seen Texas really emphasize over the course of the past couple of years. Smothers, had some, and they're probably going to be more explosive than the running backs Texas had last year with Trey Wisner and CJ Baxter. Relique Brown was kind of thrust into a workhorse back role at Arizona State because of some injuries, not only at that position, but to, Sam Leavitt at quarterback. And he wore it well. He had 1,000 yards. I think he's going to be able to split carries, and running backs seem to like that now. Keep some tread on the tires. I would also keep an eye on Derek Cooper, a true freshman out of the Miami area. He's probably going to get some carries as well. And then Arch's legs present a factor too. So there's going to be a run game is something that they attack, not only again with the offensive line, but by trying to improve the talent at the position. And Brown and Smothers should help in that regard by just adding a little bit more explosiveness to the offense.
What was the position battle this spring that you kept the closest eye on?
Really, it's probably the left guard spot. And unfortunately, one of the participants was Lawrence Seymour, who transferred in from Western Kentucky. One outlet had a second had him as a second team All-American last year. He didn't get to participate in spring just because he was finishing up his degree. But again, that one position ruined portions of Texas season. And it's odd to say that at 9-3, but when the expectations are that high and you don't make the playoff, it really was a struggle. So they have Seymour there. They also have some experienced guys like Jaden Chatman. By bringing in Melvin Sinai from Wake Forest at right tackle, they're going to move Brandon Baker, who was last year's right tackle, into guard. So that kind of takes care of one spot. They're replacing a sixth-round pick there. But the other spot, that left guard, is going to be one to really watch, because left tackle is going to be Trevor Goosby. Center is going to be Connor Robertson, most likely. Then you got Baker and Sinai there on the right side. That left guard, and it could be Chapman, it could be Seymour, it could be somebody else that they've had in the program recovering from injury, and Andre Kodjo. Like, there are a lot of different, there are at least some multiple options there to try to make things a little bit better. They're probably not going to need a freshman savior, but that's the key spot. And you know, because Seymour wasn't there, it's hard to really grade what that position looked like. And also, a redshirt freshman in Jordan Coleman could factor in because he was playing a lot of left tackle this spring with Goosby limited. So that's the spot to watch. And I because I feel like most of it's settled, not 100%, especially here on in May. But I feel like that's the spot that is going to be the point of emphasis for Texas fans and inside the program too.
When you look at Texas defensively last year, the first 7 weeks, they didn't give up more than 29 points in a game. Then they went 4 straight weeks giving up 30 or more. Now, they were able to get 3 wins in that because their offense was good enough. But depth-wise, how do you feel about this Texas defense?
I feel great pretty much everywhere. Linebacker is a little thinner than I think they would like, but there's still some high-end talent there. Those 30-point struggles, a lot of it had to do with just that safety room getting hit. You know, Michael Taff had to miss a couple of games, and then at a certain point, Jelani McDonald went out. Those were your two starters. You had to rely on some redshirt and true freshmen that hadn't been proven, and they got caught plenty over the course of that season, that late run, especially in that Georgia game, and then late against Vanderbilt, which was a wild game, but still you're giving up points. It's going to be a new look with Will Muschamp, some changes there, but there's a lot of edge talent. Colin Simmons and Lance Jackson may be one of the more formidable duos in the country. They have some experience coming back at D tackle with Hero Kanu and Alex January. They added Ian Griffard from the portal, and he's listed at about 390 pounds, so he's big there.
Little guy, okay.
They lose Anthony Hill to the draft, but Ty Anthony Smith returns. Rasheem Biles was a big add from the portal out of Pitt. And then in the secondary, they lose Malik Muhammad to the draft and Michael Taff, but Jelani McDonald had a big year, and they're excited for what he's going to provide. They had Cade Phillips as a freshman last year come on toward the end and play really well. Same with Grayson Littleton, who started basically all last year. And then they added a couple of they added a portal cornerback in Bo Masco from Rutgers, who has drawn a lot of positive reviews. So that top line of the defense, I think, is going to be strong. It is year one of a new system, and I think there may be some changes and growing pains there. Linebacker is a spot just because I'm not exactly sure what that second team is going to look like. They may rely a little bit on Justin Crier from Florida State, from the Houston area, but from Florida State to man some of those second string snaps. And then deep safety, I think, in the second string is something they may have moved, or excuse me, they moved a corner and Kobe Black over there to maybe help with that issue, that problem. Depth is always going to be a little bit of a concern in the portal era just because guys don't like sitting. But they have a good amount of guys who have been in the program for a couple of years, and are learning a new defense just like everybody else. But there's confidence that there may be some more aggression from that defense, especially with Muschamp running things.
So I always break down the top teams as there's playoff contenders and then there's championship contenders. What is Texas this year?
I think they're a championship contender. I think the expectations with Arch Manning at quarterback, with all the portal activity Texas did, they have a number one class that's entering their second year on campus. I think that there are a lot of fans who want to see Sarkisian not only get to the semifinals again, but get past it and prove that he can get past the coaches like Ryan Day, Kirby Smart, even Kalen DeBoer, who he has not beaten in his career at Texas. And only Ryan Day is officially on the schedule because Texas plays Ohio State in week two. But he's lost the last two to them, both in the playoff after the 2024 season and the start of the 25 season. Lost to DeBoer twice when he was at Washington. Has not gotten over the Kirby Smart hump. And again, there aren't very many coaches who have winning records against those guys, but if Texas wants to contend for a title and get to that point, well, they're going to have to get through either one of those teams or teams that look like them. And I think the desire for Texas fans, and I think the efforts from the program have been to get the Longhorns there. And you know, I think playing for a national championship this season.
All right, last question for you is the same last question I've asked everybody who's done these previews. Obviously, the final game of the season for Texas is against Texas A&M. other than, well, you beat Texas A&M again, what are you going to be saying about the team at the end of that game?
Hopefully I'm booking a trip to Atlanta. I think that's where Texas wants to be. I don't think they want to be on the bubble again like they were this past season. That was just, I felt like even though 9-3 and 10-2 from various teams aren't created equal, you could kind of tell that the committee was trending toward valuing 10-2 over 9-3. And, you know, Texas still was ahead of a couple 10-2 teams, including one from the SEC. It just beat that team in Vanderbilt. I think after that game, Texas wants to know it's a playoff lock, be in the top five or so of the rankings, and then see where who they may be matching up with in Atlanta in order to try and secure maybe one of those top four seeds and get a game off instead of having to deal with the first round.
I lied. I got one more question. Does Texas value the SEC championship game a little differently because it's something they've never won? You know, I think there's been a lot of talk of canceling championship games, and I've had some people from the Ole Miss perspective, they've been in the playoff, and they're like, they're fine missing the championship game. It gives them extra preparation. Does Texas value that a little bit more because it's a trophy they don't have?
I think so. I think they'd like to come in and say within their first 3 years in the league that they won the league, and there aren't very many teams in the past decade or so that can say they've won the league. It's I think you can count them on three fingers or something like that. So, you know, if they can break into a club that is Georgia, Alabama, LSU, and I think that's just about it. Like, they want to, that'd be a point of pride. But I do think that just college football fans in general have kind of taken the conference tournament approach to all this. You know, do you want to tax your legs? Do you want to tax your arms right before you go and play in the real championship tournament? I see both sides of it, but I do think Texas values that. And of course, the risk reward is you do get the chance to have a week off and or maybe a little bit more than a week off and wait to see who your opponent is. There's some, you know, we don't know the pure utility of that quite yet because we've seen teams that play the first round advance a little bit further. But I do think that Texas would like to have that, but it's not the be all and end all. They want to be playing for it all in late January.
Joe Cook, Inside Texas, man. Always great stuff. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you the same question about Texas I asked Joe. And I said, you know, in college football, I think that there are playoff contenders and then there are championship contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is Texas?
Playoff.
You don't think they're a championship contender?
No.
He thought the opposite.
No. Everyone thinks that Arch Manning's going to be the number one pick in the draft next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're all waiting for it. I mean, we saw it maybe a little at the end of last year, but I wouldn't say he was even close to the best quarterback in the conference, to be honest.
Not last year, no.
But, okay, we're just keep expecting him to make this huge, huge jump. I mean, the kid, poor kid, had so much expectation going into last year, and then they lose to Ohio State, and the sky was falling. But
yeah.
I think they're more of a playoff contender than a championship contender.
That's interesting.
What do you think?
I think they can be a championship contender. They have a ton of talent. They you know, at the skill position, they've got 2,000-yard rushers from last year they brought in from the portal. Their receiver group is really good. Of course, they add Cam Coleman to that.
True.
And, you know, for all the when you look at Arch's stats, almost 3,200 yards passing, 26-7 touchdown to interception. He didn't complete – he only was 62% passer. That needs to come up a little bit. But he was perfectly fine. Defensively, they're going to be good. They have that week two game with Ohio State. That'll just tell us pretty much everything we need to know. That game's at home. You should win that game. And if you don't, then I can't take you super seriously.
You think Texas is going to be favored in that game?
That's a good question. I haven't seen any early lines for it, but I mean,
no, that's just me asking you.
If you're saying that this is two top five teams, I would think the home team is favored. Yeah. You think Ohio State will be favored in that?
100%.
Right, we'll see. Is there a line out?
They only lost one game, or they lost two games, I guess, the playoff game.
Yeah.
The team, the national championship, and the team that almost beat Indiana in the national championship.
Columbus. This article is from January 30th from the Columbus Dispatch. FanDuel had them as a 2.5-point underdog.
Texas?
Ohio State.
January Lions. So
you're jumping on the money line there? If you can get that?
If it's anything, Ohio State's not favored, I would
You would jump on that.
Comfortably
Okay.
bet.
And then let me look at Texas's schedule. Just I know that I think they have Georgia yet again, poor guys. So yeah, this is Texas's schedule. Texas State, they'll obviously win. Then they have Ohio State week two, and then UTSA. And then it's all conference play the rest of the way. They're at Tennessee, as Joe told us, first time ever in Knoxville. Game with Oklahoma. Florida goes to Texas. Texas will definitely be looking for revenge there after that's the game that knocked them out of the playoff last year. Ole Miss goes to Texas, and as I mentioned to Joe, just a joke. Like the SEC, think of people. Like Arch Manning should play a game in Oxford in his college career. It would have been really, really easy to flip Ole Miss going to Texas and Texas going to Missouri. You could have just flipped those games. You could have made it work. I just don't understand. But anyway, they bring back-to-back weeks. They have Ole Miss at home and then Mississippi State at home. And then they're at Missouri, at LSU, Arkansas at home, and then they finish the season at Texas A&M.
All right, let's talk here.
No, I see what you're thinking. We do that later. We got a couple more weeks on that.
What?
We'll get into our opponent. We'll get into the SEC previews. We'll do game by game. I see what you're trying to
No,
do.
I'm not trying to do game by game. Just to get in the playoff, you need 10 wins.
They can get
That's
10 wins.
a bon. You think they lose more than, or they only lose 2 games in that
The
schedule?
only two games where I just say they're in trouble are Ohio State and LSU. I think they'll beat Oklahoma. I think they'll beat Ole Miss. They'll beat, I mean, who else in the conference are they going to lose to? I think they'll beat A&M because they do every year. I think that's a 10-2 team at worst. Yeah. I think. You don't think? All right.
No.
Well, I believe we are 2 weeks away from starting up our
No.
SEC previews. So,
No. They're 9-3 at best.
how many weeks until
I could see
Labor
this
Day?
going 8-4. I'm gonna be honest.
And four.
I could
SoTex
see
dog, is that
I
you?
could see it. Number one, they're gonna lose to Ohio
Oh,
State.
so we're 17 weeks and 5 days away from Labor Day. So that means next week. So we on 2 weeks from today or 2 weeks from now, we'll do our first SEC preview where we go through the schedule and we'll start with Alabama and just work our way through and go from there. So, okay. You're not high on Texas.
I go 9-3.
9-3. So
Yeah.
lose to who? Ohio State.
Is A&M away?
Yeah.
They're losing that one.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, we might have to put some money on that or some dinner or
So
something.
then you said they have home against Ole Miss, home against State.
Their SEC home
Go
games are
through the schedule one more time.
their SEC home games are Florida, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. They're at Texas A&M, at LSU, at Missouri, at
LSU.
Tennessee.
There's your three.
Okay. We'll see. We'll talk about that. We got SEC
I
previews
could
to do.
miss it. I could see him losing Ole Miss.
Okay, now you've gone too
I'm
far.
just saying.
You've gone too far. You've gone too far.
I don't think so.
All right, we'll see.
They have.
2 weeks away, we start our SEC previews, which means we're four, five. Hold on. We are 6 weeks away from our first opponent preview. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. All right. Tomorrow's show, as I mentioned, Brooks Brian likely to join us to recap Mississippi State Auburn game one. Also on tomorrow on the podcast feed, I'll have another SEC preview, spring preview from Texas A&M. Got that interview done, but that since State's not playing them, we won't put that on the podcast. Trying to get a Vanderbilt guy. Somebody want to help me out here? I don't know.
I saw you tweeted at that one
What?
guy.
Is I sent a DM? Like, dude, check your DM. It's two people now. Check your DMs. Like, if I get a DM, I'll at least look at it. I'll give you the common courtesy of red.
Jeez.
Anyway, for Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.